Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
Everything about God is good. Remember Moses wanted to see the glory of God? Moses said, show me your glory. And now when you think of glory, what do you think about? Lights, right? Sort of like Vegas, lights. Just, that's his glory. So Moses said, show me your glory. God put him in a cleft. And this is what God said to him. I myself will make all my goodness pass in front of you. God's goodness is his glory. His goodness. I will let my goodness pass in front of you. That's how good God is. That's what God has done.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Father, we come before you with joy and gratitude, joyful that we can begin these first steps and try to get together again as a congregation, joyful that we can worship you and praise you as a group, not just as individuals, with a deep sense of gratitude of your loving care for each and every one of us. Father, we bring you an offering of worship today, and we pray that it is acceptable in your sight. Help us to see these circumstances that we're in through your eyes, knowing that if we do, we can experience a peace beyond all comprehension. Father, give us opportunity to love and to serve other people. Give us these unique ways in which we can show the love of Christ for others during this very difficult time. Father, help us to realize that this is a tremendous opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many people that are fearful and full of anxiety. There are people that are angry. And Father, this is the perfect backdrop to be able to present the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, may your Spirit empower us to think that we go through this thinking of others and not of ourselves. The Apostle Paul said we are to consider everybody else in the body as more important than us. Father, I pray that we're able to take that truth and apply it to our church. Father, we pray for safety for our people. We pray for better treatments for COVID-19, and ultimately we pray for a vaccine, which would be a tremendous relief to the entire world. Father, as we come to your word now, I just pray a simple prayer that the truth of what we're talking about this morning will encourage each and every one of us. Father, we need that kind of encouragement for our good and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Happy Father's Day. People will say that. Happy Father's Day. By the way, the whole idea of Father's Day started in 1910 in Spokane, Washington, started by a woman. And her name was Sonora Smart Dodd. She wanted to honor her father, who had raised six children as a single parent. And so that's when Father's Day started. It actually started 2 years after 1908, Mother's Day, which again was started by a woman. And so we have what we call a national holiday, and we say things like Happy Father's Day. And we all respond to that differently. Some of us say Happy Father's Day, and we really have a good feeling about it. We have a good feeling about our father, and we want to honor him and say Happy Father's Day. Others of us feel quite differently. I mean, there are a group of us, for example, that never knew our father. Our father could have died when we were very young, or he could have abandoned the family. And so you never had a relationship with your father. So Father's Day to you is just a painful reminder of that truth. For some others, it's even worse than that. We had a terrible, abusive relationship with our father. And so every year on Father's Day, you get a painful reminder of just how bad it was. But for Christians, for people who are born again, this should be a very, very happy, joyful day for every single one of us, because all of us have a father. All of us have a father. And it's not just any father. We have a good, good father. Every single one of us. In fact, every day for us should be a great day to honor that good, good father that we have. And I don't mean good like a good earthly father. I mean a father of infinite goodness. Think of God's attributes. We say things like God is all-knowing. You ever think about that? He's all-knowing. Normally what we do is we don't think about it and we say, well, what's that mean? Well, I think it means he knows a lot. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means he's all-knowing. It means he's never learned anything in his existence. Anything. He's always known everything. He's always known everything that there is to know, and he already has always known everything which has yet to be revealed. He already knows it all. He's all-knowing. And then we say he's omnipresent. Great word, but that means he's here and he's there and he's everywhere. He's everywhere. How do you think about that? He's in heaven. Yeah, he's here. Oh, okay. You know, he's in Connecticut. You know, he's on the moon. He's beyond our solar system. He's beyond the galaxy. He's everywhere in the universe. He's everywhere and he's here. These are overwhelming things. He's holy. Means he's, the philosopher said, means he's wholly other. He's not like anything else in creation. He's completely holy, perfectly holy. But there's another attribute that we don't think about much. He's good. He's really good. Do you think about that very often? He's good. The psalmist said in Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting." His goodness is unique to him. Jesus was once asked, someone came up to him and said, "Good teacher." And he asked him a question, and he said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God." Referring to the Father. No one's good but God is good. That's how good he is. He didn't mean good like in a way we've used the term good. He means it in a unique and different way. God's goodness permeates every one of his attributes. He's good. Everything about his knowledge is good knowledge. His holiness is good holiness. He is good. And that is an amazing thing. Even when he had the creation, what do you see early in Genesis? And it was good. He said, everything I did is good. And then Adam was by himself. And for the first time is introduced the term lo tov in Hebrew, not good. Not good that man should be alone. I will create a helpmate suitable for him. And he created Eve. Everything about God is good. Remember Moses wanted to see the glory of God? Moses said, show me your glory. And now when you think of glory, what do you think about? Lights, right? Sort of like Vegas, lights. Just, boy, that's his glory. So Moses said, show me your glory. God put him in a cleft. And this is what God said to him. I myself will make all my goodness pass in front of you. God's goodness is his glory. His goodness, I will let my goodness pass in front of you. That's how good God is. That's what God has done. Let's start by looking at James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. I want you to see something here about the goodness of God. James 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Question. Why doesn't God tempt anyone? Because he's good. God will never tempt anyone. He said, I'd never tempt anyone. Don't say I tempted you. I didn't. He said, and that's because I am good. Then he says, each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. He said, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing and every perfect gift comes from God. Every good thing, every perfect gift comes from God. And he says, and that can't change. Notice he uses the term, he says, with God, there is no variation or shifting shadow. He doesn't change at all. God has always been good. He's good today. He'll always be good. He's good this minute. He's good all minutes. There's never a change with God. He's good. It defines him. He said, every good thing I give you, and I'll never change with that. That's how good God says, I am. It is an innate, infinite goodness. But here's our problem. You don't think about that much. And in fact, I believe that many of us often don't think God is good. And that's a shame for us. I want you to go with me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 says it's a psalm of Asaph. Asaph is a Levite, and he is the chief of all the musicians. He is, in a sense, the worship leader. He was assigned that job by King David. That's who Asaph is. And notice how the psalm starts. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Surely God is good to Israel. Now notice how it ends, verse 28. But as for me, the nearness of God, he said, is my good. First verse, good. Last verse, good. So you'd think, well, that tells you then the psalm is about goodness, but it's not. The psalm is not about goodness. The psalm is about denying the goodness of God. It can happen to everyone, even Asaph, the worship leader for the nation Israel. Notice what he says. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. I just about went over the edge. What do you mean over the edge? I didn't believe he was good. I just stopped believing God was good. You and I do this often. I'll explain it in a minute. He said, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. That's what did it. This is a wonderful pattern out of Hebrew wisdom literature. And it's something good to teach your children. Very important principle. Life isn't fair. Don't expect it to be. That's a very important principle to understand in life. Every child should be taught that. Life isn't fair, and don't expect it to be. Now, all of us believe the first part, right? But we deny the second. Here's what we say. Life isn't fair, but I expect it to be for me. I expect it to be treated fairly. But it's not fair. And his view is, look, I saw the wicked prosper. I saw wicked people just prospering. Here we are as God's people, nothing. And the wicked are just prospering. And what's the language he uses? He said, there's no pain in their death. Their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Their pride is their necklace. Their garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades, throughout the earth. He says in verse 11, they say, how does God know? And is their knowledge with the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. You ever wonder about that? You see, God, how can you be good and allow the wicked to prosper? You see, that's Asaph's problem, and he's struggling with it. So no doubt about it, he is struggling with this idea. But there's something else about Asaph. He's a little bit like us in this way. He's self-righteous. Notice verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. I've been pure. That's just me. I'm a pure man. How many pure men are there? See, if I ask you that, you'd say, well, none, I don't think. No. None righteous, no, not one. Asaph says, I was pure. Look, I didn't get a share of this. I got the short end of the stick here. And they're prospering. And I did this, he said. Notice, he goes down to verse 21. He says, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, he said, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. He said, look, I knew something was wrong. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know exactly what. Now, you may say, but I don't like the idea that the wicked prospered. That doesn't bother me too much. But other things do, because you tell me. You see, you say things to me like this, Pastor, how could God let this happen? Now, what do you mean when you say that? He's not good. That's what that question means. He's not good. How could a good God let this happen? Or you say things like, you know, I don't know. He doesn't hear what I have to say at all. I pray my heart out, nothing. I get nothing from him. What's the implication? He's not good. In fact, it even goes further than that. He's not as good as I am. Because if I were God, that little boy wouldn't have died. If I were God, why? I'm better than him. I have more goodness than God has. We think that way. You see, we think that way. And the reason we do is we focus only on the circumstances in which we're faced. And then we evaluate life based on that. Notice then what ends up happening here. He says, and it's an interesting thought on his part, all of it changed in verse 17. He said, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their ends. Asaph said, what ended up happening to me is once I got into the sanctuary or the nearness of God, everything changed for me. I saw life like God sees it and not like I see it. Let me give you an example, and I think you would understand this one easily. When a little boy or girl is 2 or 3 years old and they die, aren't we all overwhelmed by that? I mean, just overwhelmed. And what do we say? What a tragedy. What a terrible, terrible tragedy. And I think we should emote that. But God has a different view. What if you live to be 96 and die and go to hell? God says that's a tragedy. That's what a tragedy is. Eternity separated from God. That's a tragedy. that child, I receive him into my arms. You see, I receive that child. What I call a tragedy is not necessarily what you call a tragedy. You see, and that's what ends up happening to us. We look at the circumstances of our life, and then we say, I doubt the goodness of God. I don't really see the goodness of God. I don't see it working that way. And that's because we're not close enough to God. Go with me to a familiar passage, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let me ask the question, is life full of blessing? All you get is blessing every day. Anybody here only had a blessing every day? None? I mean, nothing but good things. No, we know life doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, does having a blessing all day long, every day long mean I would mean that I'm closer to God than any other time? No. Doesn't. Now, we have a whole theology running amok all over the world and in America now, prosperity doctrine, which says, yes, that's what it means. If you're right with God, you get nothing but blessings for your whole life. That's the way it works. But we know better than that. It doesn't necessarily work that way. A lot of times in life, we end up suffering. Sometimes we suffer immeasurably. In a way, all of us are collectively suffering right now through the pandemic, through all the protests, through the whole idea of a sagging economy. All of us are being affected right now in a way, one way or another. Now, notice what Paul says in verse 18 of Romans 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that has been revealed to us. That's Paul's evaluation of suffering. Now, does he know as much about suffering as you do? He might know more, huh? When you start reading about everything that the man went through, I mean arrested, beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked, snake bit, I mean, he just goes through it. And he says, look, I consider that suffering of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared. Why? I read the end of the book. I know what's coming. You can't even compare, you see, what I'm going through with what I know is coming to me. He has God's perspective, not man's. You remember then with Paul that he had a thorn in the flesh. It must have been so bad because he entreated the Lord three times, please remove it. And God told him, no. You're going to keep it. And then God said, look, Paul, when you're weak, I'm strong. And so I just want to let you know this. You're going to keep it. And what Paul say? Great. I will happily bear the thorn in the flesh if it makes me more effective for you. He also calls in another part all of his suffering momentary light afflictions. There's nothing momentary or light about them from our point of view, but from eternity's point of view, it was just a moment in time. Do you know what ended up happening? That when you are weak, I am strong. Whenever you suffer, God says, I can draw you closer to me. All of us know this. Whenever we suffer in one way or another, we find ourselves wanting to be closer to God because we don't have any other options.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, That is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.